Hey, Rebels.
Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Macy.
And I'm Naomi.
And we're two anxious counselors who like to talk about deeply disturbing things.
We believe laughter is the best medicine.
Yes, we do that. And
cheers.
Talking a lot.
And maybe a little wine.
A little wine. That does it, though. Hey, you.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going well.
I see you got some creepy shit on the table, so thanks for that.
Well, what I would love to do one day is have like a little back table where we had like little things.
A back table? You mean like
where... that shows behind us, because we have like our deconstructed Furby, because we did a Furby episode.
And your spider thing.
And the pet rock.
Well, you know what? Yeah, we could make a virtual one
too. But I don't have a back table.
Yeah, we could do a virtual one.
There's already a lot happening in this very tiny bedroom of mine.
Yes, like us in general, being in here.
And it's not a big room either. Off screen, just to the right, is a whole bunch of laundry.
So I had an instance, a deeply disturbing instance, where I woke up to my cat's paw smacking me in the eye, like right here, and I got scratched all around my eye, and I went to the bathroom, I was bleeding. And
why was your cat kicking your ass in the middle of the night? Did you forget to change the litter box?
No, I think it's because like I usually play like a game, which is stupid now in hindsight, where like I put my hand under the blanket and it chases hand. Yeah. So I think it was just I was sleeping and I probably like fluttered my eye and he thought that it was a game. And then
a fun game to catch your
smacked
eye.
Smacked me in the face. And it just was horrible to wake up to, though, because it was like, what's happening? Being eaten by a bear.
Sounds tragic and traumatic.
It was.
How disturbing would you say it is?
I mean,
it
was
the disturbometer.
Not much, like maybe a one.
It was a one.
Yeah,
a one.
I realized what happened pretty quickly. I still didn't enjoy it, but
we need to give a shout out to
our
Facebook group
in general. First member. Of all,
well, yes, to everybody on the Facebook group. We appreciate you. You're awesome. And a shout out to VJ Martinez, who pointed out that there is water in sake. So thank you for affirming my bad decisions.
Encouraging us.
Yeah, that's what I need. I need little enabling.
We
in my
honestly
life.
Have too many people telling us what to do all the time. So it's nice to have it be constructive.
It's nice to have somebody say it's okay to fast for 24 hours. And then the first thing you drink is sake.
I think that's totally fine. I enjoyed your sushi.
It was so good.
That was all I had to check in about. It's all I can remember because my trauma brain erased everything else that week after I got cat slapped.
Well, I've been watching a show that is so good. I don't know how to pronounce it, though. It's spelled Pen 15. Write that on your notepad. Just write out P-E-N 1-5.
Sorry. P-E-N.
1-5. So what does that look like?
Penis.
Yeah, but I don't know if you say the show is called Penis or if you say Pen 15.
I would.
Somebody tell me.
Penis.
Okay, but it's.
I even tried to make that look like a very definite one and it still says penis.
Okay, well, I've been watching this fantastic penis show. And it's these two comedian friends. They're like in their low 30s, but they're playing like seventh graders.
Ooh.
And doing like
we
recreations
totally
of possible situations
yes.
that they would have been in. But all the other actors are actually that age.
Mm.
And but they're so good and so convincing. Like you forget they're adults. Like you really believe that they are 12, 13
year olds. It sounds like Phantom Limb level stuff. Like your brain just forgets.
It's so good. I've been all in. I've been binge watching into the night.
Huh.
And then a weird like synchronicity thing that happened since I've been immersed in this like junior high world is I just found my diary from when I was 12, almost 13.
Oh man, I got boxes of those.
That went, well, I have not read this since the time.
Wow.
And it started off so like just
positive,
innocent, and then like 6 months would skip. And it just, things just got darker and darker. And then like there was some very angry dark shit. And like, wow, it like has put me in a state. Like, I haven't read all of it. Yeah. Like, some of it, I'm like, ooh, I don't even want to read this. Like, I know where this
especially
is going.
Especially after our Burn Your Journal episode. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's very interesting. There's parts of it I probably won't read. Because you know what happened after.
I only seem to write in those after, like, relationships explode. So, then it's just, like, me ranting about it and, like, what am I doing? And then when things are good, it's empty. So, that's just how you have to read it. It's, like, everything's fine except at those milestones.
Well, I really like the first part where I'm basically just documenting my life. Mm-hmm. And so, it's very nice to, like, kind of remember, like, oh, wow, I did that. And, okay, that's how I thought about things. Wow, so innocent.
It's like my cat journal that had the little gold lock on it. And you open it up and it's like, it's 5 o'clock. I just finished dinner. I ate macaroni and cheese. I just finished my homework, but I didn't do it all. Ha ha.
No, it's so like that. And it was just very refreshing to me because I didn't realize I had an innocent time.
It's like the one glimpse into your innocent.
I wish
Naomi
it would have lasted
self.
Longer. I enjoyed that part of it. When things started to turn, I'm like, ooh. And I felt like I was back in it. It was a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, I do have another update. Obviously. Duh. Last topic we talked about, my topic was about Robert Durst.
Yes.
The ongoing court trial. As of just a couple days ago, he was found guilty in murdering his friend. Yeah. Yep. Who is supposedly to cover up the murder of his wife. So that alone will get him in prison for the rest of his life.
So are they going to really reopen that investigation into what happened to the wife?
I think it leaves room for that. I don't know if it's worth their resources at this point since he's already going to be in there for life, but be worth looking. Because, I mean, they presented no new evidence about that other than they knew the alibi was a lie. And the statements, but that really was only about the specific case with his best friend that he murdered. I knew it was a murderer. I knew it.
You knew it. I was like, well, I need more facts, but you knew.
I could see it in his see it in his face. Did you get to watch the show?
No.
Yeah.
I haven't yet. No. I've been all into Penis World.
That's fair. So I was excited to see that come out just to kind of see it unfold in real time. It was really interesting. There's a few new current news things that are interesting right now. But that's not what my topic's about. Do you have any other check-ins?
No, let's go into it.
Okay.
What do you got?
Okay, so I want to tell you how this all evolved.
Tell me the evolution.
My piece of paper. Squeaky
paper grab.
So there's a reason why I did this on paper today too.
Okay.
So I wanted to pick a lighter topic today because I've had my last few topics have had like a lot of content heavy stuff.
A lot of murder
where I have to be checking a lot of facts and make sure I'm saying the right thing. So I would like honestly what I'm like, I need something light, something that like my brain will understand easily.
So there's no math, I'm predicting.
There is no math, but there is some science. I sprinkled in science. Some science. It actually started with science. Okay, but here's what I'm going to do.
What are you ready for this?
Okay. This is, remember our experiment?
You're not going to experiment on me again, are you?
I am.
Oh, fuck me.
Okay. I want you to put your hand out like this and then put your fingers up. Okay, perfect.
Oh, wait. Look at my cut on my finger.
What happened to your finger? Look at that cut. Put that in the camera. What happened?
Really bad.
What did you do?
I was chopping an orange
sliced it?
And the knife slid off the orange and sliced the crap out of
my
finger.
That looks like it could have been an ER trip.
I know. I probably should have got a stitch.
I was about to say, it looks like it needed to be pulled together a little tighter.
Yeah, it's not really tying the old room together at the moment.
This is when you've adulted for too long. You're like, meh, it's still on.
So don't put a piece of paper in
that. Okay, no,
do this.
Okay. Tell me how anxious you feel as I come closer here.
I'm anxious.
Yeah. Have you ever had a paper cut?
Well, of course I have.
Do you want a paper cut right here between your fingers?
No, I don't.
What are you moving for?
I just got a cut. This is very fresh and raw to me.
It's for science. I'm going to give you a paper cut.
I don't.
Between
want a paper
the
cut.
Middle of your fingers.
No fucking thank
okay,
you.
Okay, fine. How about between the crack of your lips?
Ah, no.
You won't let me? Okay.
No.
All right. So that's. a bit proving my point for my topic today.
I'm all sweaty.
You're sweating now. My topic is paper cuts.
This is good because
I have 2 pages on paper cuts, believe it or not.
Paper cuts and like stubbing your fucking toe are like the worst non-lethal pain.
And I'm gonna explain at least the paper cut end of this. Okay. All right. I dove into science and then science took me into history. Right?
The history of paper cuts.
So I thought it was gonna be a light topic and then end up turning into like, okay, there's more here and it linked in with our last topic.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'd take a swig for this. Ready?
Yes.
This makes me anxious too. I hate getting paper cuts. Let me just say this. Like, I can picture getting them every time I've gotten them, and it makes me cringe. I hate it.
You ever had a cardboard cut?
Like, I have goosebumps. Ooh, I hate cardboard.
Yeah, those are almost worse because, like, little bits of the cardboard get in there.
They are worse. Okay. So, are you ready?
Yes. Unless you're going to cut me.
No. Okay, so we're going to start with when I looked at paper cuts, and all I wrote down was, they suck. That's how I started this. Paper cuts suck. Let's see what I can find out. So our hands have what are called nociceptors, which touch and pain messages to our brain. And we have more in our hands than our arms, legs, and stomach. Phase 2 has other ones too. So this is really just...
Well, this probably goes back to that homunculus.
Yeah, like don't touch.
Remember how big the hand was?
Yeah.
So much sensory information from the hands and the lips.
Absolutely. So basic in principle, like it's made to be more sensitive. So we don't touch hot stuff that will hurt us. So we don't touch sharp things that will hurt us. Right? Like kind of makes sense. So that's why it's that way. But there's this, do you have a paperclip? I forgot.
Somewhere.
I need a paperclip.
Oh my God, okay.
Okay, go find a paperclip. Okay. So what I'm going to describe, the reason why I'm having her run and get a paperclip, is this concept called two-point discrimination. So distribution of your nerve cells are farther apart on your legs and like your back than on your hands and your face. What? No, it has to be 2 points. Give me a staple. Staple will work. Okay, so here, you get me out of staple.
Okay,
so two-point discrimination. This concept is that the nerves...
I've stapled myself before.
The nerves on your arms and your legs and your back are farther apart than on your hands and your face. So,
say that again.
Okay. Okay, I got what I needed. I'm good. This will work. Okay. So it's called two-point... Put your headset on. All right.
Bossy.
Two-point discrimination. That's what it's called. So just for context, your nerve cells are farther apart on your legs and your back compared to like your face and your hands.
Okay.
So the actual nerves are farther apart. So if you have something like a safety pin with two ends or the staple with two ends, you're going to, on your hand, you're going to be more able to feel
a poke.
2 points of contact. Did you feel both?
No, I just felt one.
Just one? Okay, turn your hand over. We're going to prove their theory wrong.
Ow.
Was that one or two?
I just feel one.
Just one? Okay.
Maybe something's wrong with me.
No. Let's just try this way. Maybe about the spacing. Do you feel 2 points of contact?
I feel one.
One? Okay.
It's merging into one pain.
How about here?
Oh, two.
Two.
For sure, two. Oh,
two. Two for tissue. Okay. So, and that may actually make...
What does that mean?
So, because your nerve cells are closer together on your hands, you're feeling the pain of both pokes versus one. So when they're farther apart, so all that means is that your pain cells, which actually makes sense.
I only felt one poke.
Yes. I went and got like a little blood testy thing at the doctor's last week, and she chose my ring finger and she said, you know why we choose this one? I said, no. She said, because there's actually more fat on it. So you don't feel the poke like you do on your pointer finger. So if you do
this mark right here?
Yes.
It's two razor blades that...
Ooh.
Ooh. I used to always have to go in to get these bleeding time tests because I used to be a bad bleeder.
Yeah.
That's the only scar of it I have left, but I used to have them all over my arm. They'd go and cut me with razors and then just watch me bleed and time it.
That's rough.
It's fantastic.
Okay. So on your arm, do you feel one or two?
One.
Okay. So that makes sense.
Weird.
So let's do your back. That's kind of hard to do your dress, but here. We'll do here.
One.
Okay.
But clearly on my fingertips, I felt two. Two,
and same distance.
Two pokes.
So, yeah. So that concept is just saying that your nerve endings are closer together on your hands intentionally, which fingertips make sense, right? For touching.
Right.
So we're more sensitive to pain. So things like anywhere in between your, like where you get sliced and slashed.
Everybody at home is pulling out a staple and poking them, their hand right now.
Or a safety pin. Gosh, talking about this makes me anxious too. Okay. So... okay, so there's that part.
Okay.
Part two. There was a lot of people saying that the reason why they hurt so much, like a paper cut, is because they get infected. However, most scientists disagree with that. They don't think that that's actually the case.
I've never had one get infected.
Exactly. It would have to actually take time to get infected. So it wouldn't make sense that it hurts in the in-between. Yeah.
Okay.
Science.
Science.
Paper is pretty sharp, but it's duller than knives and some needles. It does leave a chaotic path of destruction, though. So what looks like a thin line for what we're looking at is actually, oh, I don't think I can pull it up, but it's like a, it's paper shards. It's like shards going everywhere. Mm. It is a chaotic array of material.
Because it's all that pulp.
Yes. It's
pressed and spread.
Yes. And so when it's held taut.
Taut,
it is actually becomes very firm and very hard to break. So when that happens, you get a very big destruction path with something that is very strong. Okay, so it actually rips and tears your skin.
Did you look at a close-up of a paperclip?
I did.
Oh.
So it rips and tears your skin versus like the knife wound you have was a laceration. So it was actually a smooth cut, which means that'll heal quicker and it will actually probably have hurt less than if you paper cutted yourself that same way.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So pain receptors continue. So have you ever had it where you're like, gosh, it just keeps stinging?
Yes.
Yes. Right. Okay. So most paper cuts happen closer to the surface of the skin. So they don't the blood doesn't clot as easily.
Yes.
So you don't get a scab. Like it's very rare to get a scab on it unless it's super deep, a paper cut, okay. Right? So that means air is constantly touching it, and pain receptors are made where when air touches it, it reciprocates that pain signal. So that constant of air on the unscabbed skin continues the pain receptors. Fascinating.
It's so fascinating.
So fascinating. Okay. All right, here we go. Then I went down a rabbit hole. So the rabbit hole began with, I saw this term in this writing on Science that said death by 1,000 paper cuts. I'm like, oh, I've heard that before. Like, have you heard that saying like death by 1,000 paper cuts?
No, but that's
a
horrible image.
Okay. So on one hand, I've seen it referred to like in parenting, like how were the kids? No, like death by 1,000 paper cuts, like just, like endless little things happening. Mm,
okay.
There's also in psychology a meaning, which I didn't know this, that means like you have major negative changes that happen slowly and in many unnoticed increments, not perceived as a problem.
Interesting. But it builds up.
But it builds
and
up.
And then you're dead.
And then you die. It doesn't say that you die. But basically it becomes... so big of a problem that, but you didn't even notice it happening.
And then you are overwhelmed.
Yes. And then in 2019, Taylor Swift wrote a song called Death by 1,000 Paper Cuts.
Oh, I guess I don't follow Taylor Swift as much as I should.
So I just had to throw that out there because that was the only other reference. Okay. However, then I was like, where did this saying come from? I was curious, right? So Imperial China, this was a form of torture and executions. It was called Lingxi, which I might be saying wrong. It's been used for hundreds of years, and it was outlawed in 1905 and translated loosely as slow slicing.
Interesting.
Right? Okay, so I looked into this process, and I want to tell you more about it.
Of how you torture somebody with paper cuts?
Yeah. Because it got dark really fast. I went from, like, let's talk about paper cuts, which was stressful, to, like, okay, this... There's a reason why this all sucks so much.
This is why our logo is a vortex.
Because it just spirals in.
You Who spiral knows where it down. Goes? Yeah, you don't
I,
know.
And once you know, you can't unknow. I couldn't not talk about the spiral once it comes up.
You can't unknow what you know.
No. So this was a long, brutal process. The goal was to see how many cuts someone could withstand without dying or losing consciousness. They were tied to a wooden post, unable to move. Cuts were administered to bare flesh, typically starting at the chest, where the breast and surrounding muscles were removed until the bare ribs were visible. Then they would move to the arms, cutting away large portions of flesh and exposing tissue.
So these were like big blood. Paper cuts.
Yes.
This wasn't like your little half inch.
No. Basically stripping flesh away. But they would do, some would do things.
Oh God, in between the fingers?
Yeah, so they would do like little slice. So, but it depend. What I learned is it really one depends on the region for how it was done. So there was some variation per region, and also I found out that like if you had money, there was potential that you could pay to have the first cut be the last.
What does that mean? They just kill you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like if your family was there watching and didn't want to see you get sliced up 3,000 times, they could pay off the
first cut is the deepest. Is that a song lyric?
The first cut. Is that a country song?
I don't know. Oh, it just popped into my head. I don't know where it came from. Maybe my imagination.
The deepest. No, it is. That's the song. Has to be. Okay, so they would repeat. So they'd go from the arms to the thighs. It would be really bloody. I actually saw real photos of this done on the last person it was done on in 1905. Once the person was dead, they would be decapitated. The limbs would be collected in a basket.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. So it was said that dismemberment, so this is the link to the last podcast, was said to punish the convicted in this life and the next. So
I didn't mean like yummy.
Yeah. Okay.
I meant like. Concerned and
like more like
yeah
okay yeah you did lack concern.
I know it felt like it was too much of like an enjoyable
it did
want to clarify
thanks. So it made me think too of like how awful like it is. Remember how we were like how dare they say that the dismemberment was just tampering with evidence?
Yes,
like so a lot of religions and most religions view mutilation of a corpse as being as
sacrilege,
and very disrespectful, and could impact them in the next life. Like that's more than tampering with evidence. So, timeline: some people were dead within 15 minutes; others went for hours. Some facing up to 3,000 cuts on their body.
I mean, was the goal to kill the person?
No, the goal was to keep them as alive as long as possible by making severe cuts as possible without cutting things that they know would kill somebody.
Was it so just doing to punish, or were they trying to get information?
No, it would be to punish with the intent to kill.
Okay.
But they would try to
would
get
this
as many
the appropriate
cuts
time for
until they die.
A small personal story?
I feel like it is now.
Okay.
Sure.
When I was like in sixth grade-ish.
This is a weird.
We went.
Step off.
On a field trip. Is that your phone?
It's your phone.
Oh, nobody ever calls me. We went on a field trip to Chinatown.
Mm.
And went to visit the Chinese Torture Museum.
Mm.
Now, that sounds like that's all kinds of not PC.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, this was like 1981, too. But it was in Chinatown. So, and it showed all these tortures with like real life scene setup. So you'd move from one scene to the other.
I used to, we did that in Snohomish, but it was like a medieval torture chamber mock-up thing. And I was little. Why did they take us to these things?
Well,
I was in middle, like elementary school.
Why did they
school.
Take it away is my question. Because
did
I
they do the catapults?
Up.
Did they like have the fake catapults and launch them across the football field?
No, this was like a museum on the corner in Chinatown.
Oh, like an actual museum, not just yes. like a mock.
No, got and it, so you'd go from okay. scene to scene. I mean, they had like the classic water dripping thing yeah. where it eventually.
Yeah.
And they had some kind of like sound box where the person was like, ah.
I mean, that was so terrifying.
It was pretty it was
so
scary.
Traumatizing.
But like years later, I'm like, I want to go there. And there's yeah, like no cool. evidence of it. No memory. It doesn't exist. I couldn't find anything on the internet. It was like wiped clean.
Who knows what you went to?
I know. I'm like, is that a false memory?
That's weird. Yeah. I mean, mine was definitely like some, oh, it was the medieval fair is what it was called. But they would have like actual catapults and stuff that people would make. And then you get to see stuff launch, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the phrase Chinese torture is almost like super not PC.
No, it's not, but let's go check it out because it sounds pretty cool.
Well, that was sixth grade.
That was a long time ago. It's not there anymore. Okay, so that was a great time for a story.
Okay.
So in kind of talking about like how and why, the severity of cuts, the depth of cuts often had to do with the severity of the crime.
Okay.
So you may have fewer, less bad cuts, or maybe quicker, more deadly cuts to end your life sooner with less pain, or maybe just like long drawn out ones that hurt a lot but won't kill you if you did something really bad. I mean, it was really saved for people who like treason, mass murder, matricide.
Okay.
So like the biggies.
The biggies.
Those four they listed. I'm sure there's more.
Do not kill your mattresses.
No. Did I say that wrong?
No, it's just that.
It sounds like that.
It just makes me think of that all the time.
I said it and I was like, I thought mattress as well.
I'm immature.
It's okay.
As we've probably established.
Yes. So, and most of these were done publicly. So like in a public place with people watching you.
Well, because you have
rib
to
cage
set that
out.
Example. I mean, that's yeah. how you make people behave.
Yeah. And it was called, oh, I forgot to say what it's called. It's called, no, I said that, Lingxi. So
Lingxi.
So okay. execution, there was the last execution of, I'm going to say this wrong, Fu Chuli was captured on film in 1905 after he murdered his master, who was a Mongolian prince. This was the last known execution, and it was actually outlawed 2 weeks after it happened.
Oh.
Yeah, and those are the ones that I actually
Bad
did find
timing.
Pictures of on the internet, and they're pretty horrible. Like, he died. It was bad.
I had no idea they tortured people with paper cuts.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they used a knife, but that's where the term death by a thousand paper cuts comes from.
Though. Now we know.
Now we know. The more you know. And I still hate paper cuts. And I hate them even more now when I picture. I'm going to find it. Just what the paper looks like. Not like the
gruesome close up.
To me, that means. It's going to sound bad. That means less to me than seeing how horrible a piece of paper through a microscope looks like. Microscope. I'm looking it up. Here we go.
So why does a paper cut heal slower than a knife cut?
Because it's open to the air and blood isn't getting in it to clot.
Because it's so shallow?
Yes. Oh, and do you see that?
What is
it? Why don't you have your glasses on? At? Put your glasses on.
It looks like a...
Put your glasses
on. A storm.
It's not a storm. It's a piece of paper.
I don't know what I'm looking at.
This is the edge of a piece of paper.
Oh, okay.
You see that?
Yes.
Like, look at how horrible... It's like a bunch of sharp little shards. Shard sharps.
It's a hairy horde.
Yeah. Like, I don't want that going through my skin.
No, I don't either.
I missed part that I wanted to say. Where is it? Oh, yeah. So the other reason for the irritation, because of the wood pulp And a lot of paper is chemically coated. The fibers are chemically coated. And there's other additives like chalk that make paper easier to write on. And so those irritants also bother the skin during that healing process.
The next time I get a paper cut, I'm going to be like, Macy,
curse you. Don't curse me.
No, I wouldn't.
There can be consequences. No, I wouldn't. Yeah, don't use that lightly. I'm scared now.
No, I should never say Macy, curse you.
No, you just did it.
I'm sorry, I took it back.
What's going to have? Can you?
Yes, I just took it back.
Wait, can you really though? Did you just eat your own curse?
I ate my own words.
Oh, that was cool. Thanks.
You're welcome.
So, there you go.
Thank you. Let's remember to do the disturbometer.
One or two pokes?
One poke.
One poke. Okay.
Two pokes. Two pokes. Two. 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 That's so weird.
That's so weird.
Okay. Where?
I just like poking you.
Where would you put that on the disturbometer?
This is hard because I hate it because it's actually something that happens to me. Most of these things don't happen to me. I'm going to say that's actually my score too.
Because it's not like life threatening.
You're literally holding a disturbometer made of paper. You could get a paper cut right this moment.
Well, do you see that I'm barely holding it? I'm like the minimum, like one half a finger.
You're going to be scared.
I think
now.
It's psychologically
but
very
could you
disturbing.
Imagine how cardboard, that's like 10 times that amount.
I get that all the time. It's those fucking Amazon packages.
But it
I'm
has
being
to be
punished for my.
I can't walk to the
capitalism.
Kitchen for a knife.
Bam.
Six disturbometer.
All right. I have a musical interlude to introduce my talk.
Okay. You seem so excited.
I'm so excited. I'm easily amused, though. We know that.
Yes, you are.
Okay, here we go.
You know, I haven't done that two poke thing on myself.
God. It is so big. She looks like one of those rap guys' girlfriends. Who understands those rap guys? They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? I mean, her butt is just so
it's
sick.
Bag.
I can't believe it's just so round. It's like out there. I mean, gross. Look. She's just so...
Butts and I cannot lie. What other brother can deny? When a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Why do I know those lyrics?
Because it's so great. Okay.
And I want to get with you and take your picture.
LA face with an Oakland booty. All right. So that. Ow! Stop fucking two poking me. I am going to talk about the butt lift.
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay.
Okay. So, is this like a dirty twerk?
No. So, you know, the peach emoji. This
yes.
is like supposed to be symbolizing like today's like perfect butt.
Oh.
It's like round, it's firm, it's lifted.
Oh.
It's mm-hmm. defined.
Like a peach?
Like a peach.
But why do they go down like this?
I don't know. I don't come up with these things.
Okay.
So my main article that I wanted to cite was a Guardian article by Sophie Elmhurst, but I used lots of other sources. Stop looking at my thing.
I didn't look at you the whole time. I was sitting there scooching my chair forward. You're so paranoid. You saw me look at the one peach picture 2 minutes ago.
Okay. So the Brazilian butt lift,
ooh.
Or BBL,
ooh.
Is the fastest growing cosmetic surgery in the world.
Not to be confused with BDL.
No, that's different.
Yes.
Despite the mounting number of deaths resulting from the procedure.
What? We got butt deaths?
The BBL is a surgical procedure in which fat is removed from various parts of the body, such as your love handles.
Take
your
it.
Thighs,
take
your
it.
Stomach,
take it.
And then injected back into the buttocks.
I mean, I have take that too. Don't put it back. That's like, what am I really paying for then? If you just put it in a different spot of my body.
Well, if you want that like perfect peach.
I got a perfect peach. I don't know. Have you gone and picked peaches? Sometimes they look different. That's called organic.
Do you have an organic peach butt?
Yes. Homegrown.
People seek this procedure to achieve what in their minds is that perfect butt. Round and plump.
I just, your hands are doing a lot of butt grabbing motions.
So mainstream Western European culture about what constitutes a desirable body has changed. It used to be, remember, all about the thigh gap?
Yeah, that's stupid too.
Now it's all about the booty.
I mean, there's only like a very small percentage of human beings in the whole world who can have a thigh gap naturally. So
remember that was a thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Damaging. I'm on the opposite side of that. So yes, I remember.
In fact, when I was reading my diary, I'm like, I have to start a diet. I mean, I'm like 12. I'm like, I have to start a diet because my hips aren't as narrow as I want them to be. I mean, I was like 110 pounds. You said that? Yes.
You're so teeny.
And I was 12. I was like teeny, teeny weeny.
Yeah, I'm sure I would see that too. I remember one time like being in my dad's truck and being like, my legs are too big. And I'm like, I was like half the size of one. Like,
that's a secret.
I took it for granted.
To love yourself
at any point in time. Because, yeah. I mean, we're just going to get worse.
Well, I think I was
older, looser, wrinklier.
I had bad role models. I was really into fashion, and so I idealized that beauty ideal, which was very, very thin, and, you know, it was like the Helena Christensen's and the Naomi Campbell's.
I was raised by my bachelor dad, and he was influenced by inmates at the prison.
Yeah, that's a different influence.
Yeah.
So in other cultures, you know, it's always been. I mean, listen to the song, those lyrics of that song. I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. So there's been like this appreciation of the curvy.
Yeah. And body. I know that music video too. And like, I'm envious of those curves. They got some good curves. I mean, I got curves, but they got curves. They got like, it's that the hourglass.
Yes.
The booby, the booty combo.
Yes, the waist. Yeah. I mean, and he does specify that you need the little
itty bitty waist.
The waist. So he's not talking about an orange shaped body.
No, which is perfectly
fine.
He's
talking about
an
hourglass. So there is some, you know, specification.
And I'm pretty sure he had an orange body in all fairness. Yeah.
I think he lives in Seattle.
Are you saying I shouldn't diss him when he lives so closely?
Yeah,
I don't mean as a diss. I'm
he
just
could
saying,
be down the street right now.
I'm just saying he, you know, you shouldn't be hypocritical.
It's a great song.
It is.
It's so good.
Orange bodies are great too.
But like those blonde girls in the beginning, like that's real. That's really what mainstream society thought.
Becky, your butt is so big.
Look at her butt. It's so big.
Oh,
my God. It's so black. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
No, that was real. Like, that's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
And that was mainstream Western European society until fairly recently. Now, popular Instagram models and fitness stars have the shape, which makes it more desirable to have the booty. And that is now the beauty ideal. I mean, you look on Instagram. It's always about those angles, you know, like from the back, kind of
Kardashian.
Facing
up. Is it Kardashian who has the?
Oh, I'll be speaking about Kim Kardashian.
Okay.
In a moment.
Okay.
Oh, here.
I only see random whatever Facebook and Instagram shows me is my only dive into the world.
Do you follow the Kardashians on Instagram?
No.
Okay, me either.
No, it's probably comes up on my feed randomly when I'm watching like The Voice or things like clips like that on Facebook. And then it starts randomly filtering things that it thinks I enjoy. And then I'm like, no, I'm just addicted to random.
I don't like singing it when clips. It gives me things we think you'll like.
No, and they're always really bad. It'll be like the housewife. Who's like making this homemade concoction? Think she's really interesting for like dyeing her hair with like markers. And it's like, you're not the first one to do this.
You're not.
You know that, right?
You're not original.
You're not. Nobody's original anymore.
Nobody.
Get off of Instagram and Facebook.
At least Facebook.
Get off of my feed.
So since 2015.
Did you say at least Facebook? That is such a biased thing that you just said.
I know they're owned by the same.
Because you have an Instagram.
And I hate Facebook.
And you hate Facebook. They are literally owned by the same company.
I know. Mark Zuckerberg. I know.
I know. That was just, most ignorant things I've heard you say in a long while.
Facebook is so much more annoying.
It is. It is. There's more
Instagram stuff. You don't have to, like, know what anybody is thinking. You can put your own interpretation onto their photos.
I see where you're going with it. Yeah. As an art form, you appreciate it more.
I do. Okay. Yes.
I'll accept that.
Like, oh, that's a nice picture. I don't have to read about it. I don't care.
Yeah. I don't. And if I don't like your cat, if I think your cat is like, I don't have to stay looking at your cat.
You don't.
I can scroll to my cat.
Keep scrolling.
My cat's better than your cat.
Scrolling, scrolling, scrolling. Keep that bonus scrolling. Scrolling, scrolling, scrolling.
You really need to stop. Whatever that is, because you have it wrong. There's something about rawhide in it.
Rawhide. I think there's a whip.
Get him up, girl.
Oh my god, I should stop. Okay. Sometimes I forget we're like not just talking to each other. That was one of those moments.
I can't wait to listen to it later. Keep going.
What was I saying? Since 2015, the number of butt lips. Butt lips. Did you just spit wine all over my bedroom? Yes, you did. Butt lips. Performed.
Let me swallow it. Hold on.
Globally.
I spit all over myself.
There's been 77% more butt lifts. Let's just say that.
You definitely said
it. I said butt lips. I'm sorry.
You could just rip wine into my eyes now.
Did it come out your nose?
It came out everywhere. My dress is all wet.
Oh my god. I'm crying now. And I actually put on mascara today.
That was so great.
Why did I do that?
I had no, didn't even hit my thinking brain. I didn't even go, she said butt lips. I was just instant.
No one
so immature. So immature.
I know, right? I am so immature too.
Look how red my face got.
I think it's okay to be immature.
Cheers.
I mean, what's so great about being mature? Like, why is that?
That's kind of a running theme with with your show that you're watching and the diaries and me spitting.
Have I regressed?
I don't know.
Am I 12?
I'm just saying that, you know, being an adult's overrated.
I agree.
Why lean into it?
I'm not. I'm leaning away. Get away, adulthood.
We'll be like that in the grave, our hands stuck up. Stay away.
It's all work and, you know, budgets. I hate it. Okay. So who started this trend? We can, like, look to celebrities such as J-Lo, Nicki Minaj, and Kim Kardashian. Mm-hmm. Have really popularized curvy feminine beauty. And I would say with J-Lo and Nicki Minaj, like, that is a positivity thing. That is a cultural body positivity thing. It is great.
I don't know much about them specifically for why that would be that. Can you explain to me?
Well, I think they're... I mean, I'm just speculating.
Okay.
But I think they're natural.
Okay. I guess. I mean, like, I have a decent
I'll show
beauty.
You some before and after pictures. You decide yourself. Actually, I'm just going to skip to that. Let me figure out where I left off here. Page one. I'll clearly. Come back.
I know.
Okay. Here's a picture of Kim K today.
Okay. Whoa.
Whoa.
Not natural.
Right? Here's another one from the front.
Okay, so
can you describe what you're seeing?
Okay, what I'm seeing, first of all, are like my size boobs. You know, don't feel bad that you can't have them on your own naturally. It's okay. They're for some people like me. So she has my size boobs, but then like the waist of a Barbie doll, like an actual Barbie doll, and then her hips are quite luscious. They actually project out quite a bit. I can't see anything in between as far as a gap, but that's
Yeah.
I mean, that picture, like her badonk, that's like three of my butts stacked out, and I got a butt. So yeah.
So that's recent-ish stuff.
The waistline makes me, God, it just makes me think of like foot binding with
maybe a rib was removed or something.
Well, I mean, chest binding's totally a thing. I wouldn't put it past somebody to be so like, you don't need these ribs.
She has adamantly denied she's had any work on her butt. Adamantly.
Do you want to see a picture of her from
2006?
Yes. How did she not fall over?
Paris Hilton's like assistant or something. Oh.
100% a real person.
Though. Looks like a real person.
Yeah. No, that's
super
real.
Cute and normal looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, 100% it's had work done. Are you kidding me? Either that or it's all Photoshop. One or the other.
One or the other.
But yeah. If those are replicated across, because I saw that was like an award show or whatever.
Yeah.
Then I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be judgy. I do think there's a lot of social pressure, a ton of social pressure for people. And I wouldn't envy anybody in that role. But I don't think it puts a good, it has a ripple effect.
It's led to this craze of the BBLs. Yeah.
That's what they're going to be called now. Butt lips. Welcome to our episode title.
Butt lips, yes. Write it down in the notebook.
Next to penis.
Pen 15, Macy. In 2017, Dr. Moffitt, a leading American BBL surgeon, published a paper that revealed 3% of the 692 surgeons he had surveyed had experienced the death of a patient after performing the surgery. So overall, 1 in 3,000 BBLs resulted in death, making it the most dangerous cosmetic procedure. I mean, those aren't good odds. I wouldn't take those odds.
Well, yeah. And I wonder how many aren't reported too. Like if they're not done through a certified person.
Like a back alley type.
Yeah. Which then, I mean, those are going to be even more dangerous and they're not being documented.
15 women have died in South Florida alone over the past few years.
Like alone, like not emotionally.
I mean, not
alone.
Emotionally alone, but
okay.
In South Florida.
Thank you.
So, in addition to that classic hourglass figure you were talking about,
yes,
the perfect bottom is also at an angle. It's 45 degrees from the base of the spine to the top of the buttocks.
I mean,
so you want that lift.
You can get a bit of that with Derby.
Oh, you get all of it with Derby.
I mean, you get that nice little shoop.
Derby butts are lifted.
A shoop and a...
You get a shoop and a poop. I can't do that. I can't do it.
Why does your sound so moist?
I'm sorry. I'm just a moist person. According to a paper by a group of evolutionary psychologists, lumbar curvature apparently signified a woman's ability to bear children. So that made her attractive as a mate. So there's this like vertebral wedging that men tend to prefer in women.
I have to say that...
Was that your vertebral wedging? Vertebral wedging dance?
I felt like it worked. yes. I don't remember when, but I remember some person in my life, who obviously I'm not with anymore, told me, you have good birthing hips. And I went, oh, okay.
Did you take that as a compliment?
I mean, childbirth looks painful, so I assume that means that it would just walk out.
Yeah, it just walks right out.
So I'll take it as a compliment.
You just put a little step ladder up there and just steps right out. A little cane and hat. Does a little dance like that frog in Looney Tunes?
I mean, like your bed's on the floor. Like you could just like sit on the bed and it would just walk out.
It would just walk out. I wouldn't need a stepladder.
No.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
I love your singing and your spinning and things.
I don't know what's happening. This I need to great. Stop.
No, keep going.
Or not. Okay. So if you didn't get born with that optimal degree of vertebral wedging, like in the 18th like century, me. They would do that corset and then add that bustle. Like
I would not
bustle it up.
That's where I would not do well. Cause like my rib cage, this is the part that I'm like, feel my ribs right there. Like poke them. Is there a rib right there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what?
That can't go anywhere else.
Well, that's why people would like be in pain.
Yeah.
That's the pain.
Yeah. Part. Like, I mean, I get my soft parts can maybe renegotiate into some other spaces.
But these, you can't change your bones.
But these rib cage, this rib yeah. cage goes down pretty low. Like what? Maybe unless you break it and then form it.
Have you ever tried to put on a corset?
I mean, not like a formal corset.
I've never tried a real corset. No, I've only had those like fake.
I've had a fake one.
Lingerie yeah, ones. Like it didn't have like the thing where the people have to put their foot in your back and they're like.
Yeah, hey. Yeah, yeah. Like when you see on a movie and you're like.
It wasn't
like,
a Gone with the Wind
And you're
corset.
Like, I don't think I could suck in that.
Yeah, they're like, just take a breath in one more.
I'm on top of the world. That court kind of corset.
Yeah. And then the bustle phase was weird.
Like that? No, oh, the no, bustle's in the back.
They added on top of your butt you to make bust. You more like
poofy.
Stuck out in the back.
Yeah, like I got a little butt because I'm fertile. It's like bird yeah. feathers.
Yeah, yeah.
There
yeah,
must
yeah.
be a link.
So now you can like buy padded stuff or create homemade inserts. You know, drag queens, they make padding.
Yeah.
They pad to make hips and ass.
Some of the best fashionistas.
And you can have also implants or fillers injected, or you can have fat injections, which fulfills two things at once, kills two birds with one stone, as they say. So you can remove fat from places you don't want it and put it where you do want it. The BBL began in Brazil. And I learned a lot about Brazil during this research. Yes, this is the birthplace of aesthetic surgery and the myth of that naturally like perky ass.
Like it came like the Brazilian butt. I've seen workout videos from the 90s from my stepmom. See,
it's all coming
together. The Brazilian butt on VHS.
Yes.
Yes. There was like 1, 2, 3. And I think that's where it ended before. I don't know. She might have died from.
And I'm
injections.
Wondering if the Brazilian wax like comes from the same world.
Is that which one is that?
That's where they rip it all off.
Oh, it's all gone.
It's all gone.
But it's all ripped.
It's ripped out.
It just comes back. Like I wouldn't want to rip it. Just
I've heard
it
it's very
back.
Painful.
Yeah. Yeah. That's some sturdy hairs.
So yeah. I learned
that threw you off.
Sorry. I learned, yeah. I was like thinking of pubic hairs growing back all of a sudden. I mean, I'm like, they're real stiff and wiry, aren't they?
Like that,
yeah.
I wouldn't want to do that on the regular,
yeah. So, research says that wanting that look really depended on class and race of the women. So, if the women were rich and white, they would say, I want the body of a European supermodel. Back in the day, but that's changed now.
Because, got it. So it was like, oh, European women naturally have that.
Yeah, so it wasn't every Brazilian woman wanted that look. Really depended. And so the BBL was pioneered by the Brazilian doctor, Ivo Patangai. Probably not saying that right.
You're probably right.
And so this country is full of plastic surgeons, and this guy
is there like
Patang
a
guy,
tax break there or something, like why are they all going there?
Oh, I'm about to tell you.
Oh good.
It was he was known as the Pope, and so he performed a variety of procedures and was rumored to have prettified celebrities from Frank Sinatra to Sophia Loren while offering poorer patients subsidized treatments in his Rio clinic. He believed beauty was a human right, though he recognized that its pursuit could be a troubling process.
Yeah, because it doesn't mean shit, dude.
Quote, the most important thing is to have a good ego. And then you don't need an operation, end quote.
Said Freud.
So here's the thing.
Is he talking about self-confidence?
Yeah. Okay. In Brazil, plastic surgery is not considered cosmetic. And so their version of Medicaid covers it. So everybody can get cosmetic surgeries.
Okay. I mean,
do you hear a helicopter going
over? I do. I'm a little nervous. You had a lot of activity outside.
There was a lot of activity.
I have to say, if this is where shit went down, I'd rather be here. You know, we could.
We have a basement. We can go down there.
I don't know why. You also have a coffin. I feel like we could hide evidence.
If we can figure it out. I have some throwing stars down there.
And Victorian burnt boots.
That's right.
We got and down. We have Pet Rock.
That's right.
He attacks people for us.
So Brazilian surgeons are known worldwide for producing new techniques, but it may be because they have low income bodies to practice on. So that's the dark side.
Rude. I do not like the statement low income bodies, first of all.
That was not my quote.
Yeah, I know. My income status does not relate to my body. I can be low income, and here's my body.
That was anthropologist Alvaro Gerin's quote.
You're a rude person.
Author of The Biopolitics of Beauty, who examines the culture of cosmetic surgery in Brazil.
Okay. Yeah, I don't appreciate that.
So not everyone can achieve the Kardashian body.
No, because I'm 5'3".
And her idealized body is not without its own controversies.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of, that's where you're on Facebook. You see lots of people posting, commenting on their, some people are like, you're beautiful. Don't worry what other people say. And then other people will be like, this is unnatural and it's actually ugly.
Well, it appears to want to be an idealized version of a black woman's bottom.
She is not
Armenian American woman who has always denied having surgery, has been accused of blackfishing.
Agreed.
Which is mimicking and appropriating.
I mean, even look at that picture.
Black culture.
Look at that picture.
To enhance her brand.
So like the black glove. Like this reminds me of maybe like 40s, 50s, maybe black singer in a club, like a female. Like even the hairstyle. She's totally mimicking another culture for likes.
Yep. So she's made an empire on appropriating blackness and selling it to all types of people, including black people. So that's a quote from Alicia Gaines, professor of English at Florida State University and the author of Black for a Day, White Fantasies of Race and Empathy.
Why is that not porn with her whole butt out, by the way?
It's probably considered art. And culture.
But it's all oiled and greasy like a porno.
It's very oiled and greasy. I would slide right off to that shit.
You're running to be the best slip and slide. I mean, could you imagine if you went off the top? It would be
the water slide. Verrucked.
We'd be decapitated on that shit.
This is bad. This is so bad. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So aesthetic surgery has always been inseparable from the politics of race. Mm-hmm. So that Gaines person I was just mentioning traces the fetishization of black women's bottoms. Oh, you hear the helicopter keep going over?
They're looking for somebody. Should we lock your door, this one?
Well, the front and back are already locked.
Are you sure?
This is not unusual in my neighborhood.
Okay.
So the fetishization of black women's bottoms can be traced back to the toxic legacy of slavery and colonialism.
Is this a good time for a story?
Yeah. You have a story about slavery and colonialism?
No, but about bottoms. So it took me a very long time to feel comfortable saying that word in front of my dad because I was raised by my dad. So I said bottom probably until I was at least 13.
Instead of what?
Like butt.
Oh, butt was like bad.
Yeah, until I was like in high school, and I probably still felt uncomfortable saying butt versus bottom.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. That's my story.
So when I say bottom, it brings up a lot for you.
When you say bottom, I feel like it's really inappropriate. For some reason.
It makes me think of sex, but
bottom does?
That's just me being
ew. Gross.
Hypersexualized.
Yeah, I think bottom, and I think like a child talking to their parents. That's why like it feels weird. It feels like you're talking at a younger age than most would.
Got it.
Can we say, never mind.
Okay.
I'll sorry, my wine almost talked for me. Go ahead. Let's rein that back.
So this fetishization can be traced back specifically to the case of Sarchi Bartum, a South African woman who was brought to London in 1810 by a British doctor and exhibited in Piccadilly and then around the country as the Hottentot Venix. Crowds would pay to examine her body and her buttocks in particular. So it was that negative stereotype of the African-American woman's body, like making it negative.
Well, and I definitely like through the ages, there's been like four, I would say that the very like slim, what was that, the 70s? I don't know. This is before me when it was like thin chest, thin bottom.
I think it's...
Was that 70s? Early 70s?
I think it started probably in the 60s.
60s.
Because like 50s was still Twiggy, more voluptuous.
Twiggy was like the supermodel at the time. Yeah, I think
it started in the 60s.
Okay. Yeah, and then so it's like this very thin... I watch a lot of America's Next Top Model, I won't lie. Apparently. So I've heard keywords. Just keywords. It's also what my dad taught me how to talk to other women is listen to keywords and repeat them back.
Just women? Not...
No, this is women.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. So you can show that you've been listening.
Oh, I like to be listened to, so I guess that's good advice.
Mm-hmm. You like words.
I like words about me. If they're good.
My goodness.
So... The aspiration with butt lifts, suggests Gaines, is for a kind of cherry-picked, tokenistic black aesthetic while retaining the societal privilege of being white. So it's just picking up, like, I want the ass.
But I don't want the rest.
I don't, yeah, I don't want the difficulty. I think what Kim Kardashian explicitly knows is that folks love black culture and blackness, but not necessarily black people. That's her quote. It's part of a long history of white folks taking pieces of black culture. It's
more gentrification.
But without any of the consequences of having to be or live black. So it's that cultural appropriation. But like of the body.
Yeah, which is so wrong.
So wrong.
That was probably one of the best compliments I've ever had before. Where was I? I was somewhere. It was for my PhD ceremony. I went to buy a dress, and there was a very form-fitting dress that I tried on. And there was a black woman there, and she came up to me, and she goes, "You must date a black guy, don't you?" And I was like, "What?" She goes, "That butt."
Ooh,
and I was like,
"Got back."
And I was like, "What?" I didn't understand what she meant. But it was a good compliment, and I felt good about it later. Because, as not in that culture and would never claim to be like Kim Kardashian does, I view my butt as big compared to what most
and do you see that as
white
negative?
Women want to achieve. Yes. Yes. And so it was nice kind of stepping into this different community, like across the United States, that it was like...
Are there like a fleet of helicopters above the house?
It is like a giant fleet. Yes. Yes, absolutely. So anyways, it was just nice to be like, oh, there's like this in some other cultures is actually seen as a compliment, not
it's a positive. Negative. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like I've always like had a butt.
And yeah, your butt in derby is a pain in the ass, literally. Like you give me the worst dead leg. You hit me right in the spot in the leg that like your leg goes numb. It's the worst.
But, like, I never really had an appreciation, like, when I was younger. because of the culture I grew up in.
It's like, how can I get into these skinny jeans and then struggle?
Well, it was like, it was always like skinnier, skinnier, skinnier. Yeah, must be skinnier.
Sounds like
it didn't matter if I was skinny. It was like, must be skinnier. Yeah. Like, that was always the goal.
Sounds like you were in that a lot more than me, especially, I mean, with the crowd that you grew up with.
Yeah. And I can remember the day that my body images started. It was in junior high. And some boy.
Boys are the worst.
In PE.
Sorry, boys.
Said I had a bubble butt. And I remember that was the day I started a diet, like a starvation diet. Like, I probably had just like broth for a week after that.
I'm going to disclose to you, because you disclosed to me. So a boy ruined my life too in junior. Actually, this would have been like elementary school. So I was standing next to him playing. I think we were like heads up, seven up, and we were in the hall. And he looked at my arms and he goes, "You have hairy arms." And I just remembered like not knowing what that meant and being like, what? But it didn't feel good.
Yeah.
And then from then all the way through high school, I shaved my arms. And then it wasn't until college that I finally stopped. And like, look, you can't even like
see. It barely grows.
Yeah. Like, it's like so light. It's not, because I know people
who deforested yourself.
Well, and I don't think it was, I just don't think it was that bad, but I took that statement that he said so hard, and it like.
They're looking for somebody outside.
And it impacted. I know.
I'm going to text Asher and just say, please make sure the doors are locked.
Stay indoors. I know.
Because like, they're sweeping back and forth above my house, and it's making me kind of nervous.
I see you getting concerned. A little sweaty. I'm more concerned because I feel like I'm not at my.
Oh my God, he left to go hang out with his friends. What the
Are they looking for him?
Jesus.
My car's locked. I feel okay. I'm gonna.
I'm pretty sure the doors were locked.
I locked our
unless
door
when he left.
We are locked in the podcast room. Is something? If this is,
you can lock that.
I
door.
Did. I locked.
Oh,
it.
You did.
We're locked.
Okay, we're locked.
If fallout happens, we're gonna report on it live here. We will switch to live.
Damn it! I got rid of my golf club.
I got you a tennis racket. Where is it?
I put it in the other room.
Why would you do that?
There's a guitar. We'll swing the guitar.
That's a big case. Yeah, I'll hit someone with my microphone.
Oh, we
have the wine bottle.
Wine bottle.
Yes.
Fucking cracking in the head.
I would drink it first. Drink that first.
Okay. Well, you're out of wine, too. I can go get more.
It's okay.
Here, I'll give us each a little. Right there.
Thanks.
Life and Browns
Thanks,
edition.
Friend. We'll survive this together.
Okay.
This time.
So... A plastic surgeon in the UK said that around half the inquiries she receives about BBLs are from Black women.
Mm.
She said they feel ugly not having the curve of the back and that notion of the idealized bottom.
Well, and that sucks too, because then it's associated with that culture. And then they're like, well, but I don't have that because not all butts look the same.
Yes.
So it's also just a generalization that Black people have big butts, and that's not, I know that's not true. Like,
no,
I know people who don't.
Everybody.
So like, that's just rude.
Yeah. So the anthropologist Gaines said, you steal a version of what a Black woman's body should be, repackage it, sell it to the masses. And then if I'm Black and I don't look like that, that's a mind fuck. And I love that an anthropologist uses the word mind fuck.
It's a science term.
I like you, Gaines. I don't know you, but I like you.
We get mind fucked all the time.
And here's a link to one of your old topics. Mm-hmm. Another of Dr. Glancy's clients called Gemma said that since she'd had her first BBL, her job as a model had become significantly easier. An old timer of the trade, Gemma now mostly operates on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
She used to have to strip or rub cream on her breasts to her fans, and now all she has to do is wear a vest and a pair of shorts and jiggle her new bottom in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And she makes good money. £5,000 to £6,000 a month.
Wow.
Okay, let's talk about the procedure.
Mm.
I watched a video of the procedure. It was nauseating. It was so gross.
I've made mistakes looking at procedures on YouTube, and they're
all gross.
I felt like
I had to for the research.
They're all gross, and I've regretted it every time.
I mean, I had to look away a lot of times. It was so gross. Yeah. So it was a video of the procedure by West End Plastic Surgery, and it was to promote their work. I mean, I have to say, if you can watch a video of this and you still want to go through with this, like, I can't relate to you. I, like, don't think that we'd be friends. It was so brutal and gross. It was
so bad.
It was so brutal. So first they give this local anesthesia, and like, things are marked out, and then they make these little incisions. And then they put these, like, ports into the incisions.
Like a turkey baster.
Yes. And then they put some fluid in. And it, all the insertions are fucking can violent.
You never say insertions again?
So they're using these, what was the word?
Are your hands that far apart and that big? I don't like it.
No, I'm not kidding. It's this long. And they're called cannulas or something. It's like a long needle looking thing.
No.
That they put things in the porch. And they're like this. I'm not even kidding. It's violently thrusting all the different directions. It's
Stop it.
I'm not exaggerating.
Stop.
I wish I were. So they do that. And then they take the fat out. Again with the thrusting. And then they put the fat into these, like, things.
This isn't funny. This is horrifying.
No, it's horrifying. So they put in the fat that they take out into these containers, and then they scoop out, like, chunky, fleshy bits that are undesirable. It's so fucking gross. And then they end up with...
And they put it, like,
you know,
in
what
their
tomato
cheekbones?
Soup looks like? Where it's
I love tomato soup. Don't say that. I like tomato soup with grilled cheese. If you ruin this for me, we can't be friends anymore.
It's exact.
Stop it. Stop it.
You know how tomato soup isn't quite dark red? It's like a light red. It's exactly
red when you put in a little milk in
it. No, that's exactly what it looks like.
I hate you.
So they...
We can't be friends anymore. You're alone in this. When the criminal breaks into the room, I'm breaking out the window and going in my car and driving home.
Oh my God.
Now I just really want grilled cheese and tomato soup.
I really like grilled cheese and tomato soup myself. So then they take the fat out of somewhere, and then they do this process, and then they put it back in. Again with the violent thrusting.
No, doctors like to do that. Yeah. I've seen that with someone I know who had their shoulders dislocated. There's so much violent thrusting with sheets as leverage, and it's like, dude,
calm down. This is a human being.
If someone's knocked out, they shouldn't be waking up yelling, please stop. Make them stop. And then they stop yanking, and they just pass back out again. And you're like, what the fuck?
I mean, my nightmare is waking up during surgery.
That's we've had that as a topic, haven't we? You talked about
nightmares. You talked about locked-in syndrome.
Oh yeah,
it's related but not the same.
Yeah, that's true.
I love how you think your topics are my topics.
I do, because
we're like an old married couple, like, you did that.
Well, for me, honestly, I mean I probably listened to 25% of our podcast. I want to do better at that. I really enjoy it.
I listen to almost all of them because
I really enjoy it when I do.
It's fucking funny.
I do. I laugh. I love listening to it, and I crack up. I'm like, this is great. And it's like even better just listening as a participant and not being part of it. Like,
yes.
It's great. I just have so much anxiety built up about hearing myself that I avoid doing it.
Sometimes I think you're talking to me, though, when I'm listening to the podcast.
Oh, I do, too. I've talked to you.
I've talked to you, too. And then I'm like, oh.
And it freaks me out a little bit. So then I'm just like, well, I was there, so I don't need to listen to it again. But then I hear you say things, or I hear other people say. And when I go and I post it, because I do all the editing, and so when I post it, I'll hear, like, Sam, like, that's funny. And yeah. it is. It's
and I forget stuff we say until I listen. I'm like, yeah, we said that.
We're like so much funnier. And I totally agree with what's our fan's name on our Facebook?
VJ Martinez.
Yeah, like, your boyfriend may not get us, but that's totally okay.
You either love us or you hate us. You're in or out.
Yeah, there's no in between.
We'll take all the ins.
We're either like,
we're fine with the outs.
You think we're hilarious or severely obnoxious. And we understand both sides.
We're not a moderate place as a podcast.
No, this is literally just for us. And if you like it, that's okay.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. One of us. One of us.
It's a gross, messy procedure. There's fat dripping all over the place, all over the person's body, down on the floor, all over. And I'm just imagining that person is how sore and bruised they would be after that violent thrusting.
We just talked about a paper cut, how hard that is to heal from. Mm.
Then the ports are taken out and the incisions are closed. So gross. Okay.
And all for the socials. Like, there's no, like, for this particular surgery, it is completely cosmetic. Yes,
there's no, like, health issue with not having a peachy enough ass.
No.
So, for the fat to stand the greatest chance of survival in the body, it has to be quickly inserted back into the buttocks. So this is part of the reason they have to, like, be really, like, forceful. Thrusting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have their foot on, like, a foot-controlled pump, and then their hand is, like, putting the fat where it needs to be. So surgeons have described this like it's playing like a musical instrument. Well, like that, you're like footing and handing and
I don't like that either.
No.
Please don't foot and hand
and then
me.
And then their other hand is like trying to find where you need a little more, like a little more here, a little more here, foot, hand, hand.
To get it like I mean, almost like a person who makes like
but they have to go fast.
Like a person who makes pottery, perhaps? Pottery. Like
a yes, pottery? It's like a pottery. But you have to go super fast because the fat, like...
Or it'll collapse in on itself.
Well, the fat will get, like, gross and like
coagulated.
Funky. Like, well, it'll die.
Old milk.
It'll die. So that's why they're, like, vigorously, like, get that fat in there. Feel, foot, thrust.
Sounds like a lot of energy.
No, I'm tired already. Okay, so a patient has to wait weeks before they know what their bottom will ultimately look like. The fat takes time to settle. So Dr. Glensley from the UK has to remind her patients that at best, only about 50% of the fat takes.
What does that mean? Where's the other half go?
It's absorbed into the body or released in the lymphatic system. What,
into like your heart?
I don't know.
I mean, that doesn't sound healthy.
No, not into the heart. I'll talk about it in a minute. Okay. So, like, there's guidelines in countries and places with, like, guidelines about how much fat you're supposed to put in. In the UK, it's 300 cc's per buttock, which is a little less than a can of soda.
So it's per buttock.
So imagine your fat. A little less than a can of soda.
There's more than that.
Well, you can only put one of those into each.
So I could probably put like one
at a time.
One thigh per buttock.
So you would have to go back if you wanted more results on the ass liftingness.
Well, and that's totally how they make their money, because they're like, by the way, you can only do this much.
But some people are impatient. In Turkey, the most popular tourist destination for cosmetic surgery. And the third most popular in the world after Thailand and Mexico don't have these limits. So some surgeons may insert 1,000 cc's into a patient's buttocks, and they'll advertise this on social media, and they'll put their before and after pictures, and they lure people in. Patients may return from Turkey unhappy with the results, because a significant quantity of fat has died and left them lopsided or misshapen. So here's a normal, like, good result from, like, a U.S. surgeon's website. Okay. Like, that's what people are going for. Like, a flat kind of butt to a, like,
You can see a double lifted. I mean, her thong is now up her butt.
I mean, honestly, I can achieve those after results.
That's me right there. I mean, that's
by wearing
problem.
Heels and eating a little more food. I don't need surgery.
I mean, I got that right now. That's fine. Like a derby skate, my, you know, sucks right up there.
You don't
have
skate.
To worry about that. Yeah.
I mean, wearing heels.
I don't even know what that flat butt is. That's I'm a little amazed by that, actually.
Yeah.
How so does the underwear cover all of the crack?
Well, because it's a smaller
buttock.
Buttock. So this is like a normal buttock? Person's successful before and after results. So this is what people are seeking.
I mean, that's kind of a reasonable. I would say that's reasonable.
But I honestly think you can get that naturally.
I mean, I've got that naturally. Someone can have mine if they would like.
Advertise it on Instagram.
No, they'll probably take it and I'll be sad. Because I'll be like, now my underwear covers my whole crack.
Let's talk about the risks.
Okay.
Risk can increase when synthetic fillers or implants are inserted instead of fat from the donor's own body. But this process is rare in the U.S. So Kim Kardashian on her show, I don't watch her show, but apparently did x-rays to prove I'm all real. But I don't think x-rays can show fat.
No, they're for bones, aren't they?
Well, I think they would be looking for inserts.
Yeah.
But it sounds like inserts are like very rare and not done in the U.S. So that was like a bunch of lies.
Yeah, I mean,
like it proved nothing in my mind.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. If you're going out of the way to sit and try and prove things, it probably means that you're covering something up versus just being like,
because okay, I don't think your own fat's going to show up on an x-ray.
No, it doesn't.
Just be your body.
I've been through an airport security and my fat does not block my bones.
You don't get like a tackled by the
badonkadonk tackle. No. Shuffle around because I'm short, so my pants bunchle up at the bottom of my shoes and they think I have weapons and I don't. I'm just short. Yeah.
Risks of the BBL surgery include infections.
Yeah.
Bleeding.
Especially if you go to another country and then like quickly come back before like follow-ups and stuff can be done. Or if like they don't speak English and you have no idea what they're telling you and then you go back to the U.S. you have no idea how to take care of yourself.
No. Pain. Poor healing. Fat necrosis. That's where your fat dies that they've injected into you because it's a grafting procedure. So you could die.
That's scary.
Even though it's your own donor material, because it's taken out, and like that out period is very risky. You can get deep vein thrombosis. You can get cardiac and pulmonary complications. You can accumulate fluid. You can have asymmetry of the butt.
That would be my worst case scenario. They'd be like, you could die or get asymmetry of the butt.
Like one big butt.
How are you going to ever fit into jeans again?
No, like, you wouldn't. You'd it's have to hard choose enough. Big or small.
It's hard enough. You're just going to have to like.
Either you're busting out or you're baggy.
You're going to have to wear like yoga. I don't know. Maybe stretchy the pandemic works out. Yeah.
Stretchy for life.
You know, whatever your butt shape, we accept you.
Welcome you get to work. Numbness.
Hashtag work from home.
Hashtag. Scarring, skin loss, and more. People have died,
what
though.
What is and more?
That's like the more. The okay. things that like Thing. Some people get, but.
Not everybody.
Not everybody.
Not all of those others.
People have died, though. That's the worst complication.
I would say so.
The BBL has the highest rate of death of all aesthetic procedures.
Weird, because it's the fart, it's your butt.
It's the deadliest cosmetic procedure there is.
That means they're just doing a shitty job. Sorry.
Since fat is injected into the muscle, it could get into the bloodstream and cause something called fat embolism. This could mean blocking oxygen to your lungs or to your brain. If you get fat into the bloodstream, you can die instantly. So you're not supposed to put the fat into the muscle.
Which I could see being...
Was that violent, fast thrusting?
Cha, cha, cha.
Like, how are you precise? I mean, I'm sure, you know, plastic surgeons know what they're doing, but it just seems... Like, scary. You have to be so surface with it.
Don't do that motion with your hand.
And you're going so fast.
No.
So, as I mentioned, in the U.S., the death rate is 1 in 3,000. But that rate improves if performed by a board-certified surgeon. Let's talk about Dr. Bum Bum. He was a Brazilian cosmetic surgeon who was charged with murdering one of his patients in 2018 because he performed an operation on his patient, Lillian Calixto, in his own apartment, assisted by his mother, girlfriend, and maid. Bad news bears.
Yeah.
Yes. So let's talk about somebody who passed away, sadly. What is her name? She was dubbed the Mexican Kim Kardashian. And she died last year in 2020. Her name is Jocelyn Cano. She lived in Newport Beach, California. She studied microbiology at San Diego University. And this, she died during her second BBL surgery, and she went to Columbia for it.
That's sad.
And there's her picture. So she was an Instagram influencer.
Yeah, you can definitely see the similarities with the Kardashian picture.
Totally, right? And then also those angles, like 10 years ago, people aren't shooting those angles. You want to minimize it. You're like, oh, up angles. You know, remember everything was down, like, down,
why
down.
Would you show off the mom butt?
Yeah, nobody wanted to show
the,
that off.
The thighs and the mom girth.
No, you would be like, no, I need you to angle the camera down.
Down.
Let's minimize my area.
Existence.
But now it's all minimize my up area.
Yeah.
So sadly, she died from that surgery.
Wow, that is.
New connections with the body. The fat has to revascularize.
Everything's connected.
Yes. So you can't sit for 2 weeks. So you get like a special pillow. You can't run around.
So you can't sit or run.
Or those new connections won't form because it has to graft. It's actually regrafting. And even if things seem to be fine for years, as we get older, our skin gets looser and is likely not going to be able to hold the fat in place.
Oh, it's
going to
be like oatmeal.
Yes.
Ew.
So since this is a new procedure, they don't really know what it's going to look like in 20 years.
I mean, I can picture it.
Like everything could drip down into your legs.
It's going to be a bunch of oatmeal ass.
Well, it could all go down into your
knees.
Lower legs. Like you could have really big lower legs and then like a flat.
Did you do research
ass.
On that or is that?
No, this is my hypothesis.
Okay, to have the fat lower legs.
Flat, like fat, like it can migrate in the body.
Yeah, and like walking, it's
and
constantly
gravity.
Going down.
Gravity.
Yeah. I haven't heard the helicopter in a while. I'm pretty sure they got whoever.
Or they gave up. Yeah.
Yeah. Where they're in the house hiding successfully.
I know. I feel less secure than knowing that Asher had left. I thought he was upstairs monitoring. Months after surgery, holes can form in your butt.
Wait, more than the normal ones?
Extra holes.
More than one.
More than one. Okay. And it can start leaking fat.
I need to restate this. Additional holes.
Yeah, not your butthole.
Additional holes. Can form on the bottom.
On the bottom. And then the fat can start leaking out.
Okay.
I mean, that's
Is there
terrible.
Any, like, fetishness?
Of the big
of the
butt?
Bottom. Like,
oh,
has
God,
that,
yes.
I mean, I was going to say, like, a trend, like, sexually or like
it's the beauty ideal right now in our culture.
Yeah, I mean, in like the concept of like, because it's been a thing in porn for a long while, but like has that become,
but not like the original 70s 80s porn. It was still that like small body ideal.
Yeah. I was just wondering like if there's a research study about that, like the actual, like,
well, like I mentioned that woman that was paraded around in Piccadilly, that I would say is fetishivistic.
Yeah.
Is that the word?
I have no idea.
Where they really, in a harmful way, like portrayed this stereotype
fetishivisticness
of this black woman, and like people would come and like touch her butt. Like,
yeah, I know that. I would definitely horrible. Put that in that category. Yeah, I was just wondering because, like, it, I mean, even like in the photos and stuff, it's very sexualized. Like, there's always, it's like a leg up, big butt. Like, it's very sexual. Mm. It's not just like, it's not what I don't know. I don't know. Like, I've seen some very beautiful photos of people where parts of themselves are accentuated, but it's not sexual.
That's
and
interesting.
All these photos you've shown me feel like they could easily be in a pornographic magazine as well.
Right. It's not just functional.
Yeah.
Like, but strengths.
Yeah. And but I've seen like many supermodels and things like that where like it's art, it's fashion, but it may not look sexual.
Good point.
I don't know.
They do feel sexual.
I don't know if there was a point to that.
So in addition to being painful, having your butt leak fat smells bad.
Sucks and smells.
In 2019, 26-year-old Angela Pedrosa was left with rotting flesh and gaping craters in her butt after industrial silicone was injected during a back alley surgery in Rio. Here's some photos.
Yeah, I see a photo coming. I'm looking. Oh my gosh.
I know.
That's like maybe like a really chronic bed sore that's healed. And what, she get tattoos over it or something? Or is that just
really? I think she had the tattoos before because they're folded into it. Mm-hmm. So she said, I wanted my bum to have an extra lift to look more pert and sexier, but I nearly paid the price for my vanity with my life.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like someone just punched her butt in on both sides, and the impression of that, like if you punched a dough, like a fluffy bread dough, you punched it in.
And
the
it creases. Stays in.
Yeah, that's what it looks like on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, I read the full article about it. She said,
like, that would suck.
She went into some pretty deep depression because
before
this, she had a really big presence as a fitness person on the internet. Yeah.
Part of her identity.
And, you know, is very healthy, very active lifestyle, exercise, like posted photos all the time, but just felt like she wasn't enough in the butt area. And so sought out this surgery because it was advertised as having amazing results and affordable.
It's so awful. It's so awful because it's such an easy catch for people. It preys on people. People's vanity, people's need to please others, which
because
I think
you
is very normal.
People like Kim Kardashian getting so much attention for the ass.
Yeah.
And then you feel like, well,
she also has like some of the best medical care, I'm sure, compared to most.
Like, do I matter if I don't have that ass? Like, I think that's a question that some
people matter,
have.
Even if I poke you with staples.
No, I'm okay with it, but I'm like
other
trying
people.
To. Yeah.
Yeah.
Embody.
All bottoms matter.
All bottoms matter. So here's my advice. Never go with a cheap surgeon option.
With like literally anything, honestly.
There are amazing doctors all over the world. Mm-hmm. However, in the US, we do have this board certified process. And that whole point is to make sure they adhere to certain standards. Look at the before and after pictures. Make sure they are actually genuine.
Not photoshopped, yeah.
Yeah, and talk with someone who went through the procedure with that surgeon and ask them about their experience. And don't use fillers or implants. Use your own fat.
Yeah, because your body's going to be less likely to reject it and all
that
jazz.
Yeah.
That is the second time I've said all that jazz this week. And it's earlier I said, where does all that jazz come from? I said that earlier this week. And why do I keep saying
it's a song lyric.
Is that where it comes from? And
all that jazz. I don't know what song.
Okay, me neither.
We've sang a lot of partial song lyrics tonight. And I've not
like
really
the
known
one.
The root of it.
We're very impartial knowledgeists.
We know what we know, and that's all we know. Sorry.
Too bad.
Too bad. So sad.
We enjoy it.
I know. Are we ready to wrap it up?
Oh, are we? I don't know. I was still looking at wrinkle butt.
Oh, I'll close that out.
Thanks.
Sorry. All right.
Okay. I feel like there's a bit I need to process. Okay.
We got to do my disturbometer.
Oh, yeah, your disturbometer.
What would you say?
I'm going to say
Six. That's what we said for yours.
No, I'm going to say six.
I'm going to say a six too.
I'm going to say six because of the wide impact it can have on people. I don't think this is one that's going to impact me directly, but I don't like seeing that other people.
It hurts me that people are hurting.
I mean, I even don't like that Kim Kardashian feels like she has to do it. Like, that's a lot of pain, a lot of healing, a lot of pressure.
Oh, that's sweet. You
know? Is it?
Yes.
Oh.
I don't know if I've gone that far.
I don't know that much about her, to be fair, so I feel like I can keep that level.
I think that's cool that she became a lawyer.
She's a lawyer? See, I don't even know that.
Yeah,
she's a lawyer.
Good job.
See, look, she's like even better.
Kimmy K.
Yeah. Well, until next time.
Say what you said a minute ago. That was really good.
Wait, I don't remember that.
About the butt. About licking her butt.
Until next time,
you gotta remember
like your bottom.
We gotta remember what you said.
No, I can't remember.
Until next time, you get what you pay for.
Is that what I said?
No, that's what I just said.
What did I say?
I don't know. It's beautiful.
Why did you reference something? You don't remember it either.
Well, I don't remember the exact quote. I don't want to misquote you.
Well, then why do you want to point me to something you don't remember?
Oh, all butts matter, I think you said.
Oh, okay. Until next time. All butts matter.
Yes, they do.